We've been decorating the cross. So if you'd like to, during any of the songs, during the service, feel free to come up and add a bit more to the cross. It looks beautiful. So thank you, everyone. So if I said to you, I hope most of you know the response to this, Christ has risen. Hallelujah. Happy Easter, everyone. It's great to be here, isn't it? Yeah. We live in the power of the resurrection. Amen. And thank you to all those who decorated the church as well. It looks beautiful. We are going to have communion today. We have got gluten-free wafers. I know one person. And we've got alcohol-free wine as well for those who want it. It's dark red in colour. And we've got a lovely slide, haven't we, Alan?
We have.
Do you remember, some of you won't know this, but we in South Africa, they had the massive fire, Debbie and Steve, which ravaged their land for about 10, 11, 12 days. And we were blessed to be able to help them out financially, and thank you to those who supported that. But you can see where there was death and destruction, there's new life already. So we thank God for that, and we thank God for the resurrection. Alan, I'm going to hand over to you. You're leading.
Thank you, Paul. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Right, now that was the practice. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. Right, you're in good voice this morning, aren't you?
Yes,
we are.
Right. I'll try that. You're in good voice this morning, aren't you?
Yes,
we're here to praise the Lord together, aren't we?
Yes.
Good. Right. You will find out why I particularly asked that. Really want you to participate this morning. We're going to be having a new song, which will require participation. But let us open with a prayer. O Lord, risen, alive, and full of grace, you paid such a price that we may live in freedom today. We worship your holy name and give thanks for your redeeming grace. Heavenly Father, may we drink in your tender love so that we can pour this love out to others. Come and reign in our hearts, minds, and spirits. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to blow through our every word, action, and thought. Come transform us on the inside so that each day we may become more like our risen Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And our welcoming prayer. Lord Jesus, by your grace we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage, and love to welcome the stranger into this place, so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. We're going to have two worship songs together. Let's say the first one, you'll pick it up, and please really enjoy it and embrace it.
Thank you.
the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let everything
that has breath
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let everything
that has breath
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let us stay standing as we continue to praise the Lord together.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin, your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life begun, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dust. When death was arrested and my life begun.
Release from
seated. And Lord, we thank you this Easter morning that we have this opportunity to come in freedom to worship you. Lord, we want to pray for the young people this morning as they go from here. May they learn more of you, more of your saving grace through your death on the cross and then your glorious resurrection. Lord, be with the leaders as they share with them this morning. And may they come back excited of their knowledge of you and wanting to share more of you. Amen. Going to have a great time, kids. Let us just quieten our hearts as we come to a time of confession. Risen Christ, the world despised and rejected you, and yet you responded with grace, humility, and welcome. The proud question your power, devised your death. You responded with peace, forgiveness, and new life. Forgive us, merciful one, our arrogance, our selfishness, our scheming, our violence. Forgive us, merciful one, when we are like them. Make us like you. Risen Christ, we claim your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. We claim your resurrection power. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restore our life. You come now with saving power. Alleluia. Amen. We're going to have a series of four songs now, so please feel free to stand or sit as you feel comfortable. Of three songs, we decided four might be a little bit too much. We have three songs together now. But as I say, please feel free to stand or sit as you feel comfortable as we worship the Lord this morning.
I'm held by the power of your name. Christ, my name. Yeah.
always be holy, holy forever. Lord, that's one of the messages of the resurrection. You will always be. You will always be holy forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Sue comes to bring us our reading.
Our reading this morning is from John chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen wrappings, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth which had been round Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen wrappings, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been. One at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her, "Who is it that you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni." This means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Father God, I thank you that you're here through the power of your Spirit. Your presence is with us now. And I pray you bless this time. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to my cousin's house for a meal, Claire, and she's married to a guy called Simon, and Simon is a bit of a comedian. I find him funny, and he's a window cleaner, and he cleans the neighbors' windows and the like, and he can't do anything without something of a to-do, so he closed the curtains at the front, and we got a little statement about why he's closing the curtains at the front of the house, and then we moved to the back of the house for tea, at which point he says, I'm going to have to close the curtains. I don't want them to see us eating steak unless they think I'm being paid too much. So he closes the curtains. But why do we use curtains? They act as a barrier. They separate. And they're not a new concept. Curtains have been around for thousands of years. They were in the temple at the time of Jesus Christ. They're in the temple, they have what's called the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, and that part of the temple was separated from the rest of the temple by a pair of curtains. But these aren't ordinary curtains. They were 4 inches thick. One commentator said it's thick as a man's hand. And no one could enter this place apart from once a year, and they only then the high priest. And this place was seen as where the presence of God was seen. So in this place, you've got the Ark of the Covenant. You know, that's so historic, isn't it? The Ark of the Covenant, the box which held the Ten Commandments. And then we read this in the Gospels from Matthew. Jesus cried out again in a loud voice. He gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Mark says something similar. And then we read this in Luke. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. At the precise moment of the death of Jesus Christ, at the exact moment of his death, these curtains are torn in two from top to bottom. What do you think God is trying to communicate to us in that moment? I think he is communicating that we now have access to God. I think he is communicating that what separated us from God has been taken away. What separated us from God? Sin. Any act of disobedience to God, chief amongst, I would say, idolatry. Chief amongst putting our will before God's will. John says this in his gospel as Jesus dies. He says it's finished. I think Jesus is saying it's done. I have done my job. I have redeemed humanity. Some of you have heard of the prophet Isaiah. He talked about the coming of Jesus hundreds of years before he came. And he said this, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Jesus has dealt with my sins. I have peace with God. I have access to God thanks to Jesus Christ. He died for your sins as well. He died for every single one of us. And actually, I believe he would have died just for you. Isn't that amazing? That God would have died just for you. Such is his love for every single one of us. I struggle to talk about his love because how can I describe it? It's unconditional, it's eternal, it's beyond measure. So I've said something about Friday, but But we're here to celebrate Sunday, aren't we, today? So as you heard, some ladies go to the tomb to anoint his body, which was their custom and last act of love. I don't think they went with hope. I don't believe they went looking to see this man alive. They were not going to anoint a dead body. And they meet a man, presumably an angel. He says, "You're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." Death could not hold Jesus Christ. And thanks to Jesus Christ, it can't hold you either. Why does the apostle write this otherwise? "Oh death, where then your victory? Where then your sting? For sin, the sting that causes death, will all be gone." How we thank God for all of this. It is he who makes us victorious through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks to Jesus, we can have victory over death. We can follow in his steps. In dying, we rise to eternal life. We all know the consequences of sin, don't we? We all know it in our personal lives. We see it around us all the time. The man who has a desire to make as much money as possible when all his children and wife want is to spend quality time with him. The man who has a leg amputated because he can't not smoke. The person who lives in unforgiveness and is consumed now by bitterness. We see it all around us, don't we? But the ultimate consequence of sin is death. And has been from the beginning. You know, after Adam sinned, what did God say? "You will die." What does Paul say in the book of Romans? "The wages of sin is death." But thanks to Jesus, death has lost its sting. And so Paul is able to write, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I just want to make one other amazing point. Through the cross, Jesus is able to present you to the Father as holy and righteous. Isn't that amazing? Holy and righteous before the Father. That's why you have access, because he can't be in the presence of sinners. That's what the cross achieves for us, isn't it? At the cross, all of my sin, all of it, is seen as belonging to Jesus Christ. And the punishment falls on him. But it's better than that. At the cross, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is seen as belonging to me. An amazing transaction through faith in Jesus Christ, available for anyone and everyone here today. And so the author of Hebrews is able to write, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." Hallelujah. Through the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, he has made a way for us to be forgiven our sins, a way for us to overcome death, and a way for us to be made holy and acceptable to God the Father. So my last question, what will you do with the sin that separates you from God? We will all stand before God for judgment. That is a given. We have no choice about that. You will stand before God Almighty one day. Where you do have the choice is this. Will you take your sins to the cross and let Jesus take the punishment for them, or will you account for your sins yourself? If you haven't done already, I would encourage you to turn your life over to Jesus Christ this morning, to repent of your sins, and from this day forward, look to live in obedience to Jesus Christ. And for those who have, of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have so much to be grateful for, don't we? Let's demonstrate that by the way we live out our lives, in looking to live for his will and his pleasure, looking to live for the honor and glory of God Almighty. Amen. I'm going to move to a prayers now. And I'm going to start with a prayer in case there's anybody here today who wants to commit themselves to Jesus Christ for the first time, or maybe there's people here who feel they've wandered away and would like to recommit themselves to Jesus Christ this morning. What a great day to do that on. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I want to turn from sins and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins and that you raised him to life. I want him to come into my heart and take control of my life this day. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. And if anybody has prayed that today for the first time and you've meant it sincerely, then today you are forgiven. Today you are eternal. Today you are with God forever. And if anybody has prayed that for the first time, I've got a gift for you. So please come and speak to me after the service. And now a prayer for those who live outside the love of Christ. And we know many. Father God, we thank you that you died for every single one of us. For every sinner, no matter how big the sin. But Lord, we know so many people who live in denial of this truth. And in a moment of silence, I'll just give you time to think of any family members or friends. Father, we do lift up all our friends, our families, the people of our community. Father, we pray they would hear the gospel afresh, maybe through us. And we pray that on hearing the gospel, Lord, they would receive it, believe it, and put their life in your hands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for those living in war-torn countries, of which there are dozens. And Father, we pray especially today for the people of Israel and Gaza, Ukraine and Russia. And Lord, we long to see peace in those lands. And Father, we pray especially for the vulnerable, for the children, for the innocent, Lord, that you watch over them, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now a prayer for those struggling in some way, maybe health or otherwise. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of compassion, that you see each person as unique and deeply lovable. And we thank you, Lord, that you are not unmoved by a person's suffering, struggle, grief, whatever it is, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray you bless them this morning. May they know your power to heal and redeem. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord again, and then after that we'll have communion, and then our last song.
During this song, a collection will be taken for the work of the church.
Peter, would you like to assist as well, please? Thank you for your gifts, Lord. We pray you bless them in the use and service of your church here in Water Orton. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the resurrection. We praise you for Jesus Christ, that he is alive now and forevermore. We thank you for Jesus Christ, that through him we have access to God, that through him we are forgiven our sins, that through him we are presentable and holy in your sight. We praise you, Father, that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. And he gave it to everyone to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So with this bread and this cup, we remember our Lord and his amazing sacrifice for each one of us. And we pray now, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us pray as we have been taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So all who love the Lord Jesus as their Saviour are welcome to receive in this church. For those of you at home, the body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. Thank you.
going to continue in worship. And you might recognize this one. We did it at the beginning. And we're going to finish in praise and worship. So are you ready to praise? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything that has breath
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything
that
has breath
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything.
Everything. Amen. So, Lord, as we go from here, may the celebration of resurrected life bring new hope to your being. May the victory over earthly death turn your eyes to the promises of heaven. May the empty tomb help you to leave your sorrows at the foot of the cross, so that God's hope, promises, and forgiveness reign in your life forever. Amen.
Amen.
Have a fantastic day. Go from here praising the Lord. And have some refreshments as well if you wish. Amen.
Praise God, there's nobody greater than you.
I'll praise when you're sovereign, praise when you reign, praise when you rose and defeated the grave.
I'll praise when you're faithful, praise when you're true, praise when
there's nobody greater than you.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!